Hey everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Another good show for you today. My guest today is Dean Roberts, and he's going to talk to us about how to live a life that's just a little bit more joyful. And I really like the things that he has to say. I think you're going to enjoy this show. You want to tell people about it. Dean Roberts, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Remember, you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Dean Roberts. Dean has just finished a book entitled I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. Dean's book uses his experiences to show how he and maybe we can live our lives in a more positive and grateful way. Welcome, Dean.
Hi.
First of all, maybe you could give us a little bit of your background and let us know where it is you're coming from.
Okay. I was raised in New York City in the wintertime, and my grandfather's dairy farm about 200 miles from there, upstate New York, in the summer. And I didn't do well in school at all. I failed a lot. By the time I was 16, they threw me out. So I joined the Navy, and then after all that was over, I went to work for my father. He was a steel wool die maker. And I did that for 15 years till he retired, and I took the business over, which at that point involved cutting things as well as making steel wool dies. And from that point, we got into manufacturing consumer products around 1978, and we became the largest dollhouse manufacturer in the world, dollhouse kits. We were doing about $4 million in sales, and there were about 40 people working there. And since that point, about 20 years ago, I retired from that. My son and daughter now run the business. And I've spent a lot of time and effort trying to fix my head.
Okay, that's a good place to start. What does it mean to you? You talk about living in a positive way. What does that mean to you?
To be the creator of your experience, to not be pushed around by the events of life. It's a long, arduous process to train for that state, but it works. You can do it. That it doesn't. We don't have to be subject to what's happening around us to have a positive, grateful state. We can create that on our own, no matter where we are. My favorite author, Robert DeRope, said that by skillful means, one can be comfortable even in hell. And I've kind of used that as a benchmark for my reactions.
So it's what you're saying is the way we react to our environment, people around us, that's what makes us comfortable?
No, that to accept whatever is in a grateful, wholesome way. Mm-hmm. Is a process that you can train for and create after a while. Mm-hmm. So no matter how difficult it is, you don't have to grab an attitude.
Gotcha. Why the book? Tell us a little bit about that. Why did you decide to write the book?
Well, I feel that I've been so blessed in life. I really have. I look back and I'm 75 now, and it seems like a charmed life almost. And I'd like to help people grasp the possibilities of life, that there's so much more available to everybody if they were just the back cover really sums up the message I'd like to carry to humanity. That if you take an hour and a half every day, and you study and you meditate and you exercise and you write about your life, that you can continually improve your situation and your state.
I really like what you say about writing. I've found it to be a very cathartic sort of experience for me, just to And it doesn't have to be things that other people are going to see. Is that right?
Yes, I didn't write for anybody except myself. Mm-hmm. I started maybe 35 years ago, and I, as a part of my study and reading program in the mornings, I review, like right now I'm reading some entries from 1989, and it really is a benefit to see where you were and how you looked at the world and from the vantage point of 25 years thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Have you found a lot of changes?
I was a totally different person. Yeah. I was 220 pounds overweight.
Really?
I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. I was using up an Isomedihaler for my asthma about once every 2 weeks. And I drank about 12 cans of beer at least a day. And it's completely, absolutely different.
Well, I'd like to get into a little bit about how you came to the realization that you needed to stop doing all that. Is there a particular point that you can point to where a decision was made to stop drinking, stop the smoking? Was it more gradual? How did that come about?
As much as I've written over the years about revolution, every day the possibility of a dramatic revolutionary change exists. There was an evening or middle of the night experience I had sometime in the late 60s. I was that person I described just a second ago, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, breathing in Metahaler, eating the worst possible choices in foods. And I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't even lay down. I had a chronic bronchitis, but I had a particularly bad experience with it. I was sitting up in a chair trying to sleep, and I woke up and I took a couple of hits on the Metahaler, and then I lit up a cigarette. And I was sitting there and I was coughing and thinking about mostly what I had to do the next day. And then somehow an insight came to me. It's like the lights in the house all went on at one time, that if I continue this path, there's no life for me. I'll be dead before the decade's over. And the next morning I stopped smoking, and not forever. It was a long, long, that thing lasted, but I stopped for 2 or 3 years. I stopped drinking and I started the exercising and I started to read about nutrition and diet. And that point, that evening, was a pivot.
I'd like to keep going with this idea of health, and I'm going to ask you a question, then we're going to take a short break. But I want to get this in too. When we take a look at this book, you know that the primary audience of this podcast is ex-offenders and their families and friends and so forth. What can an ex-offender that's reintegrating glean from your book?
The absolute important thing for them to do is to block out some time every day. No matter how busy they are, take 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours if they can, and study. What we can do is a reflection of what we know and the skills we have and our motivation to do that. So anybody can train themselves with some marketable skill, be motivated to use that skill, and always increase the area of their knowledge. Learn, study, mm-hmm. study, and want it. Really want to have a better life, to have a family and to spend expendable money. Mm-hmm. I mean, money isn't much, but when you don't have enough, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I hear these people all the time talk about how, you know, they got rich, but they still weren't happy. And I say, give me the opportunity, please.
Absolutely.
I would like to have the opportunity to experience that. Okay. Listen, Dean, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to go back to this idea of the health that you were talking about. Dean Roberts is my guest. I'll fix my head before I'm dead. We'll be right back after this. We have really got some great shows lined up for you going into the spring and the early summer. If you've got an idea for a show or you have a guest that you think would be good for this show, drop me a line at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Talking to Dean Roberts today. Dean's got a book called I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. Dean, it looks like on the cover of the book that you're in like, you know, I don't know, but it looks like a yoga position or something. Is that what that is? Are you doing yoga there?
They call that the bound lotus. I've practiced yoga for about 35 years, and I feel that it's a very, very important part of the transformation that I was able to create.
Let's stay on that for just a second, because I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about how you feel that meditation or this spirituality, what role that plays in getting ourselves together and being more positive.
It's major, because there's such incredible possibilities in life of things to experience and see but the greatest experience is to be in control of yourself, to control the way you react to people, to control the way you move in the marketplace and create wealth and create family and community. And that all comes from learning, from increasing our skill level. And that, it doesn't cost money to do. It takes time. With the internet today, there's 100 different sites that provide all sorts of information that can help people motivate themselves.
Right.
Because that's where it all starts. They got to want it.
Okay. So it would be your contention, and mine too, by the way, that health is a part of your wisdom, isn't it?
Has to be. If you're waddling around in 250 pounds of fat, it's hard to have a life. But it's not just overweight, it's diet, it's exercise, it's getting enough sleep. People are sleep deprived. Drinking enough water, probably 75% of the population is dehydrated at any one time. Not just water, not bottled plastic water, but real water coming out of glass or preferably out of a spring somewhere. It's not the easiest thing to get, but if you want to have an optimum experience of this opportunity of life, you really have to give yourself every single edge. And learning those edges and practicing and always looking at what you're doing and trying to make it better and make a better move is, as I see it, the practice of life. And I'm 75, and I feel tremendously optimistic about what's possible for me yet.
Okay. Well, and it's not just our physical health, it's our mental health that you're addressing in the book as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's where it all starts.
Absolutely. It is. How do we get that book, Dean?
It's available at Amazon and the Kindle or Kindle Books. It's either place. Also, it's on Smashwords as a download, and it's on the Nook, the Barnes & Noble download.
Okay. Sounds like a good read. Sounds like something us ex-offenders could use to help us in our reintegration and could benefit us. My guest today has been Dean Roberts. He's got a book out called I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. And Dean, you got some real cool points that you've made here, and I want to encourage everybody to go take a look at the book. Dean, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you, Roddy. Would it be possible to send me a copy of this?
No problem at all. We'll get on it right now. We're going to take a quick break. I'm sorry,
Dean. Do you have to go or could you talk for a minute?
Hang on just a second. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. How are you doing? How is your reintegration? How are things for you now that you're home? If you're a family member and you'd like to contribute something, drop me a line too. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I sure would like to know how you're doing. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And another show is come and gone. I want to thank my special guest today, Dean Roberts, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.